Lake Effect continues now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Earlier in the show, we talked about the future of solar power in Wisconsin. Solar is just one part of a broader effort to reduce carbon emissions and halt or slow global warming. And it's to climate justice that artist Nicholas Lampert dedicates his practice.
Lampert is a senior lecturer at the Peck School of the Arts. He attended the COP21 climate conference in Paris in December, but not as a delegate, rather as a protester, and as he says, as an artist.
I went to Paris to make art for the December 12th demonstration. And prior to that, I'm part of a project called Climate Prints, which is a website, climateprints.org, which is a go-to website for climate justice graphics, where artists from around the world are submitting graphics, and then these graphics are free for groups and individuals to download and use them in movements. And we have worked a lot with environmental groups like 350.org, Greenpeace, and other groups, where prior to a big event or a demonstration, we design, get out the word, posters and graphics for these demonstrations. And we did that. We hosted upwards of a dozen to 20 graphics for the December 12th demonstrations in Paris. And so we were involved in the early stage of the planning of this demonstration, and I wanted to be there to experience it. And I also wanted to use my skill set as an artist to help out, to help make a lot of the art that was going to be carried in that demonstration.
Why is it important to have something like a clearinghouse for these kinds of visual images? Are people not able to make them themselves?
It's not that people aren't able to make them themselves. I mean, art is all about free expression, especially when a demonstration is another part of the world. You really want local artists to be taking the lead. But what was set up in Paris, on the outskirts of Paris, was just a hub space, a meeting space where hundreds of artists could gather and network and create art. And that's truly what it was. There was a hub space called the Jardin d'Alice in Montreuil, right outside of Paris, that was an open studio. And on any given day, there was 300-plus artists. One of the artists was David Solnit, who's the arts organizer for 350.org, and he had a budget for materials, and he said, "We're making all these banners and flags because demonstrations need visuals. It's a way for us to get our message out, to frame what the demands of the movement are." But there was artists from every corner of the world. I would be working at a table and I would ask people where they're from, and people would say Australia or the Arctic or India. And people found this space and used it as a hub space to create art.
I want to backtrack just a little bit to your own practice and how this has been merging over time with activism, particularly around climate change. What was the turning point for you when you thought, my art can do something bigger?
I've felt this way for a long time, for decades. The traditional art world really holds very little interest towards me. To me, I want to make a difference with my art. And I think the way you do that is by networking with other groups, putting art directly into movements. So it was a natural path to start just working with groups and saying, how can we collaborate, and really asserting the important role that artists have in movements. I mean, I teach art and ecology at UWM. I teach art and social movements. I've written books on this topic. I wrote The People's Art History of the United States, which looks at the long history of artists engaged in movements. And I work with numerous art collectives. And we felt when we started this project, climateprints.org, that there wasn't a go-to site that could really bring together artists whose concerns were on climate change and climate justice. And there wasn't a go-to place for movements to find these artists. And so what we were really doing with this project, besides, you know, harnessing and bringing together all this great work, was we were doing movement infrastructure tool, a tool that artists could really further galvanize and empower the work that they were doing.
Do you find that other people within the movement are welcoming to artists? Do they want artists to be part of what they're doing?
Yes, but this has taken a long time. I think there's been a really positive shift in the last 5 years or so, where a lot of movements are recognizing the power of art. This is something that wasn't the case in the past. In the past, you know, artists were on the sidelines or they were asked to make a flyer, but never were artists really their tactics weren't central to a movement, or they weren't at the table in leadership discussions within movements.
What do you think made the change happen?
I think just artists are a very stubborn lot, and they're going to do their work regardless and assert their role. And I think artists were really demanding that they have a bigger stake in leadership, and also to be supported by movements, that artists need to eat too. And when artists started demanding that there be positions within groups and so forth, I think it made a big difference. When I took part in the People's Climate March in September of 2014 in New York City, art was everywhere. It was absolutely everywhere. Artists were designing work on the scale of what you need to do in New York City, where you can actually read and see these graphics from a camera's point of view 30 stories up. And I think many of the organizers of that demonstration were just blown away by what artists were doing and the scale and the seriousness and what it brought. Everything's a battle for public opinion. And when environmental movements and activists are trying to get their message out, the media is going to train its camera on something that is photogenic. And when you have a demonstration that is coordinated and there's massive banners and floats and you name it, that's compelling. And I think a lot of groups have really come around to recognizing the importance of artists.
So getting back to Paris, and you were there for that December 12th demonstration, how much work did you do leading up to that actual demonstration? How long were you in Paris before it, and was there time afterwards to kind of think about what had happened?
Well, I was in Paris from December 4th to the 14th. And for 2 weeks leading up to the conclusion of the COP21 UN climate conference, there were planned demonstrations. There was a plan for a massive peaceful march in late November, which would have been similar to the People's Climate March in New York City. And this march was canceled due to the terrorist attacks that had happened in November. There was no plans to cancel the December 12th demonstration. The December 12th demonstration was slated to be the last word, that people's movements would have the last say on the outcome of whatever was signed at the COP21 climate conference. And that was slated months in advance as a day of civil disobedience, where people's movements would assert the last word. So I went into Paris with that in mind. But obviously, everything changed after the terrorist attacks in November.
What ended up happening for you, and were you disappointed that you couldn't do the civil disobedience that you had planned?
I wasn't disappointed. What happened was, after the terrorist attacks, the French government put a ban on demonstrations. They put a complete ban saying that a demonstration of two or more people was illegal. And climate justice activists cried foul. Obviously, there's concerns of public safety for large crowds, but the soccer matches and other big events and Christmas markets still went on unabated in Paris. So a lot of people were saying that this was really targeted to quell this international action and demonstrations that was coming to Paris. So what happened instead on December 12th, there was an original plan to literally surround the conference center on December 12th and assert that what the world leaders were signing was insufficient and not enough. But what happened instead was there was a large demonstration of 15,000 people in central Paris. And that's what I attended and where we brought art to that event. As far as the outcome of it, it's hard to judge because I'm still processing, you know, the impact of what happened. But, you know, a demonstration reaches two audiences. It's not just for the outside world and the opposition that you're aimed against. It's also to galvanize a movement. And that's really happened. The 15,000 people who were there were jubilant. And fully committed not just to what was happening in Paris, but for the years to come, to really fight for a much cleaner and healthier environment. And that was incredibly positive to be around.
You also helped make the banner mm-hmm. that was put up.
We marched from the Arc de Triomphe, where the demonstration was.
Okay.
And then the 15,000 people marched through the neighborhoods to the Eiffel Tower. So there was essentially two demonstrations that day. And in the weeks leading up, we were in an art build space painting sometimes 10 to 15 hours a day. The banners, all the flags that were carried in that demonstration. Two of the banners that we painted were 300 feet long. I mean, they were absolutely massive. Mind you, when we took the metro to the location where the demonstration was, the Paris police were searching bags and so forth and apprehending signs and banners. So had not a few people thought ahead of time and got there earlier, a lot of these banners would never even have been carried in the demonstration. So we basically snuck a 300-foot banner into a demonstration calling for climate justice, which seems absurd that this would be banned, but it was. That was the climate that we were working under.
For you and your personal art practice and how it works now with climate justice, do you feel that this was a once-in-a-lifetime experience, or are you hoping that these continue in the years to come?
I don't think it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I think it was a mobilization of a lot of creative people and important organizers. But I don't think anyone there was looking at it as a once-in-a-lifetime. I think a lot of us went in there thinking that what was going to be signed was going to be insufficient, that many of these world leaders are completely wedded to corporate power and that they weren't going to sign an agreement that was enough. I would also argue that it's been the grassroots that's been pushing this conversation, been pushing climate justice for the last decade. And if you go back to the Copenhagen conference that happened in 2009, that was a failure. Absolutely nothing was signed. And the grassroots never rested. They pushed for the closing of the Keystone Pipeline. In the meantime, you had the Idle No More movement in Canada. You had indigenous groups blocking pipelines left and right in Canada. You had the mobilization of the People's Climate March. There's a huge, massive climate movement happening all over the world that's as diverse as can be. And there's a massive renewable energy movement that's happening. The world leaders are very much behind. They're 25 years behind. And we went to Paris thinking that we wanted to assert what needed to be done, that we wanted to put forth demands, and we put forth much larger demands to the world in the art that we created, demands for 100% renewable, to keep the remaining fossil fuels in the ground, to really assert that frontline communities, indigenous communities, are at the front of these struggles. We went there to assert those messages in our art, and we went there really with the idea that Paris is just another stepping stone, that 2016 and beyond is where a lot of this hard work continues. And that was really the atmosphere that I was immersed in. There was almost no negativity. It was all of building coalitions, of planning for what's going to happen, what we can do in the years to come.
So are you hoping that in the years to come that you will no longer need to do this work?
You're always going to need to do this work. Basically, the art that I'm doing is art activism. It's art and social justice. You're always going to have to do this. And what makes the climate justice movement so vital is the urgency of the issue. There's simply not much time to really restructure the world's energy production and the way we power our countries and our cities. This work has to happen now. And I think it's the grassroots that's pushing the urgency of this issue. And that work has to happen as we speak right now. And I think people came out of Paris incredibly energized. And that said, there was some positives that came out of that conference, the COP21 conference. Climate justice activists were there to apply pressure and get their message out as well. But this is still the first time world leaders actually come out of one of these conferences with any semblance of an agreement. And a lot of people are saying that the tide is turning on the fossil fuel industry, that you're going to see, you know, a massive shift to renewable energy. The question is it going to be in time? Out of Paris, there was hopes that the agreement would be a lot stronger. It's not binding. So these are voluntary targets that countries have to make. There's also hopes that the developing world has been asking that the industrial world, who's caused most of the climate change with the amount of CO2 they put in the air, that they would basically put up the funds to shift the developing world's energy economy to renewables. And that didn't happen in Paris. The amount of money that was slated was never agreed upon. So what came out of Paris is significant, but it's not enough. So it's really up to the grassroots to continue to apply pressure. And you need artists working in those movements. And that's exactly what I intend to do.
Well, Nicholas Lampert, it is a pleasure to see you again, and welcome back.
Thank you.
Milwaukee artist Nicholas Lampert is a senior lecturer at the Peck School of the Arts at UWM. He's also part of the Just Seeds Collective and the website climateprints.org, which offers artwork to activist organizations around the world. You'll find links at wuwm.com.